Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoyed the program.
You're listening to Noel Debien on Sunday nights.
Thanks for staying with us. And if you've just joined us, in this hour, coming up in about 15 minutes' time, we've got the Bear Brass Asylum Orchestra and a whole bunch of musicians to share with you some stuff on music, disability, and the experience of Australians with disability, and also an award they've just won. That's coming up in about 15 minutes with my colleague Jess Hill, who's been off chatting to the members of the band. But joining me now live in studio is the managing partner of Salvos Legal, Luke Geary. Luke, good to have you back in the program.
Thanks, Noel. Nice to be here.
Always good to chat about stuff which affects us. And this week I noticed there was a Melbourne artist facing child pornography charges over some artworks that he sees. I haven't seen these. I haven't seen a facsimile of them. I don't know what they're like exactly. I've seen written descriptions of them. But it sparked, this is artist Paul Yaw, I think, and the pieces were in a St Kilda gallery in Melbourne, and it's pulled up this whole issue of what constitutes pornography and where it covers. And well, we were interested to ask you from Salvos Legal how this might touch people and what the real issues are that might affect people.
Yeah, thanks, Noel. It's been quite a controversial topic. You remember probably I think it was in 2008 Bill Henson had his own.
Yes.
Controversial issues regarding this very point of child pornography and the distinction between what is art and what is exploitation. In recent times, we have, like you say, an article where Paul Yaw is before the court in Victoria. The case is in fact pending. Yeah. Over an exhibition he's got, which contains collages of, including a cardboard cutout of a child with Justin Bieber's head stuck on it, urinating from a dildo into a sink. Now, it's quite...
pretty confronting from the sounds of it.
Yeah. You can imagine it polarises the community significantly. You'd probably have a portion of the community who would say, well, there's freedom of expression in art. It's a basic human right, essentially, in a democratic society, that we should be allowed to express ourselves. And then you have people who feel that is, you know, gone too far, and it is depicting an exploitative circumstance, and which was the very intention of the law to prevent.
Well, the funny thing is that from what I understand of the descriptions of this stuff, that you get a face pasted onto an obscene image. So the child is not actually involved directly in the obscene image. So why does it constitute an offence?
Well, I guess it's a question of whether or not it does constitute an offence, and the court hasn't determined it yet. But certainly Victorian police feel
chargeable,
quite passionate about it, and have charged the man, and the matter's before the court. These sorts of issues have some history. I guess the laws in, just touching upon New South Wales and Victoria, but also there's the Commonwealth law, basically anything that's done over a carriage, so over the internet, over a telephone, over SMS, also triggers a similar Commonwealth offence. The issues regarding pornography are not new. Quite interestingly, they are in the law, given a level of... a lack of definition, insofar as in New South Wales, for example, the law says that matters to be taken into account in deciding whether a person... So the law requires that a reasonable person would regard the particular material as offensive.
A reasonable person, that's quite broad, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
And there's lots of reasonable people with views that differ.
And the circumstances in... And this is what the law prescribes as being... ways that the reasonable person's views would be considered are including the standards of morality, decency, and propriety generally accepted by reasonable adults, and the literary, artistic, or educational merit, if any, of the material, and the journalistic merit, if any, of the material, being the merit of the material as a record or report of a matter of public interest, and the general character of the material, including whether it is of a medical, legal or scientific character. So there's a number of exceptions there, none of which actually tell you whether something is going to be offensive or not. Like I said, it's not a new question. In 1964, in the American Supreme Court, Mr. Justice Stewart, when considering a case of a movie called The Lovers back then, was asked to define what was hardcore pornography. And in his judgment, he says, "I shall not today attempt further to define the kinds of material I understand to be embraced within that shorthand description, and perhaps I could never succeed in intelligibly doing so, but I know it when I see it." And the motion picture involved in this case is not that.
I know it when I see it. I that quote does stick in my mind. I know that quote.
And so some 50 years later, we are still knowing it when we see it, I suppose. And the definition is perhaps not well defined, but it is certainly a gut assessment of what people constitute as offensive. And like you say, intelligent minds differ.
It sounds very difficult.
What I really found was interesting was only in June this year in Queensland, there's a 21-year-old man who was jailed for a very significant collection of child pornography on his computer. Had something like 104,000 images. 90% of the images were cartoons.
Cartoons?
Yeah, they were anime, Japanese anime drawings. Not real.
So they weren't pictures.
They weren't real.
They weren't photographs.
Weren't real children involved in real acts. And I recall there was a New South Wales case in just 2008 dealing exactly with this issue concerning offensive pictures of cartoon characters from The Simpsons, which had obviously not been Matt Groening originals.
So apart from breach of copyright, they were also pornographic.
Yes.
What you're saying, yeah.
Yes. In that case, The issue was it was really considered for the first time in our local law about whether the fictitious nature of what was being depicted was in fact what the law was sought to protect against.
Want to get my head around that again. That a guy, this was the substantial charge that he had cartoons.
He had cartoons and other things.
Oh, okay, so that.
But 90% of his files were cartoons, and in giving a decision in that case, and this is the 2013 case, the man went to jail. He was given a 2-year sentence, and the judge said that he had to serve at least the first 6 months. And he'd be sent on a bond for the balance of his sentence. So we're talking very serious business here. Mm. And there's no suggestion this man was distributing it or producing it. He was possessing it. Mm-hmm. And 90% of what he was possessing was not real live children. But that being said,
it was created images that suggested.
Correct. Now that being said, that it's not real live children. I don't want to suggest that it is less serious. And what the court said in this 2008 case involving The Simpsons was in the Supreme Court of New South Wales, and Justice Adams said, is interesting. The judge in that case said two things. He said at the beginning of giving his decision, he said, "At the outset, it is necessary to appreciate, as I think, that there is a fundamental difference in kind between a depiction of an actual human being and the depiction of an imaginary person. Mm-hmm. The distinction is perhaps made clearer by considering the various depictions in video games and comics of imaginary persons mm-hmm. involved in terrible violence, involving the infliction of torture and death. If the persons were real, such depictions could never be permitted, and their creation would constitute crimes at the very highest end of the criminal calendar. Imaginary depictions of that kind are largely, some may consider unfortunately, taken for granted." And so the judge was referencing the fictitious nature of video games involving violence and acts of cruelty against people. Then he goes on towards the end of his decision, and he says, and this is really the essence of why, in fact, a cartoon, if it depicts persons in these types of acts, is just as serious in terms of satisfying the definition, the strict liability definition, as the real thing. And the judge says, "As with literary works, it is notorious that drawings and other pictorial representations may be and often are of fictional or imaginary characters, although the primary purpose of the legislation is to combat the direct sexual exploitation and abuse of children that occurs where offensive images of real children in various sexual or sexually suggestive situations are made, it is also calculated to deter production of other material, including cartoons, that, as the explanatory memorandum, he's talking about the bit that went with the Act, the law that is, puts it, can fuel demand for material that does involve the abuse of children.
So the imagination of these things is being criminalised, in fact. The imagination and then the creation of a cartoon or a picture, which is not a photograph of a real person.
But that it fuels the appetite for the market, which...
Therefore, it falls within the range of an offence of pornography.
Yeah, because it's the market that essentially responds by bringing the exploitative acts to real life.
So Paul Yore in Melbourne, who's been charged over this, this is where he's been caught. Is it the same set of legislation given his
conviction? It would probably not be controversial that cartoons or non-real life situations are illegal. Mm-hmm. Canada actually probably about 5 or 6 years ago, held under the freedom of America and Canada and the freedoms of speech. Canada held that the individual's right to have a make-believe act like that was not a criminal offence. But in Australia, I don't think that would be controversial. So that's not what the real issue in the Paul Yore case will be, I suspect. I suspect the real issue will be twofold. One is whether what he actually has created, this collage, depicts, in inverted commas, a person.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, if it is depicting a person, does that person appear to be a minor? Now, I say the word minor because Victoria and New South Wales are different in their legislation regarding child pornography. In New South Wales, a child is a person under 16.
Mm-hmm.
In Victoria, they deal with a minor. A minor is someone under 18.
Mm. So there's a two-year difference straight away.
Yeah, and there are some certain exceptions. But in Victoria, we're talking about someone who's depicted to be, and they may not necessarily be a minor, but they appear to be a minor. And so that's an issue that he will have to face. Now,
that's quite strict, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know how old Justin Bieber is, but he's probably in the range. But I don't know what the other parts of his art installation look like. But certainly the police have a view about the matter, and they're hungry.
This is going to end up in Melbourne a test of how far this legislation is going to apply, isn't it?
Mm.
Because what's happened is there's children's faces put on adult bodies is what he's done.
Mm.
And now the test is this child pornography? Because he's created something that appears to be.
Mm. And if he has created something which appears to be a person and that person appears to be a minor in a sexual or sexually explicit way, then it probably would trigger the provisions. Now, in Victoria, there's two different ways to look at it. One is there is a defence if you can establish that the art was suitably having artistic merit attached
mm-hmm.
to it,
mm-hmm.
but that defence only applies to the possession of that item, doesn't mm-hmm. apply to the production of it. So there's a different standard. If you're possessing something like what he's made,
mm-hmm.
if you were to purchase it off him, for example, mm-hmm. you're possessing it and you are possessing it for the purposes of artistic merit, then you would have a statutory defence. But if you're the one that makes it, you don't have the benefit of that defence.
Is the charge against Paul Yore for producing child pornography, is it equal to someone who actually does produce pornography in involving real children?
Yeah, the penalty is the same. The penalty is the same. So it's serious business, obviously. And in 2008, the police didn't charge Bill Hanson.
There was a lot of talk about it, but he wasn't charged.
He wasn't charged. What happened after that was that the Arts Council of Australia prepared some rigorous protocols for working with children in art. Obviously, having learned of the prickly issues involved with children. Obviously, we're in a very aware time at the moment with the Royal Commission into institutional abuse.
Well, of course, it's got to be interlinked, hasn't it? And this document that you kindly gave us, this is sort of regulating stuff of the creation of work funded by the Australia Council in particular, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's Commonwealth money. So obviously, the Commonwealth as a model citizen has the highest standards that it wants to ensure that those who are funded by it adhere to, and the highest standards are compliance and full compliance with the law. And so it includes guidelines that require consents from parents where they want their children to participate in artistic works. It includes working with children's checks for people involved in the production of certain artistic material. Mm-hmm. It includes all sorts of safeguards to ensure that there is a fine line between art and, well, perhaps offending behaviour.
I'm a former teacher, so I'm used to a high level of awareness about where transgression might be perceived, even perceived. And also, you know, the checks that go on and the balances that are within the school system to ensure that children are safe. But I have to say, you could have knocked me down with a feather if you hadn't turned up with this revised 2010 protocols for working with children and art, and this is pages and pages and pages produced to regulate it. It's a policy, and it's a full-blown policy on how to go about this.
And there's another one.
Oh, there's another one as well.
there's a complimentary one that goes with it. But I think really the most astonishing thing for a lot of people would be that it is not new law, as in it's not to come in this case for Mr. Yore, that it is illegal to have possession of something which isn't an actual enactment of a sexual offence.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a cartoon, if it's a drawing, if it is a collage, if it is if it depicts a person and that person appears to be under 18 in Victoria or a child under 16 in New South Wales, or if it is communicated over the internet, it triggers a Commonwealth offence, then it's an offence.
Luke Yu from Salvos Legal, another very interesting and challenging legal and social issue. Art and pornography, is it art? And we'll wait to see what happens with that case in Melbourne. Luke Geary from Salvos Legal, thank you again for being part of the program.
Thanks, Noel.
This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. You can download your favourite Sunday night interviews from our website at abc.net.au/Sunday Nights with an S. Thank you for listening.